Classic Hits, 95.1 KMSD. We welcome him on a regular basis. He is the epidemiologist for the great state of South Dakota, Dr. Joshua Clayton, on the program. Dr. Clayton, always great to have you on the program. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So first and foremost, as we roll through the spring in the middle of April, we kind of reflect back on just a brutal, brutal winter sickness-wise. COVID, flu, RSV, a little bit of everything. You name it, folks stricken with it this winter.
Yeah, it has been probably the hardest winter for just kind of that mixed pathogen respiratory disease season that we've seen for quite a while. Influenza, was definitely king in terms of the number of cases reported to us. We had over 20,000 influenza infections, just over 1,200 hospitalizations and 57 deaths. When I look at data from COVID-19, we saw over 9,000 cases, so it's. Those are the ones that we do the really strong case capture. There's a lot of other stuff that was circulating where it's not directly reportable to the Department of Health, but was circulating. Pertussis in the fall, we've seen that start to wane. Respiratory syncytial virus or RSV. We had other sort of circulating viruses like parainfluenzas and stuff like that. And then kind of on top of it all, we had norovirus, which, kind of is talked about as stomach flu, but is the nausea, vomiting, diarrhea type of enteric pathogen. So all of those mixed in there, and I'm sure that that impacted people as you were trying to get ready to go visit family, either over Thanksgiving or over the Christmas holiday or even into the new year here. So, glad folks are sticking with it. We're on the tail end of our respiratory disease season.
And that's for folks that you could track. I mean, how many people had COVID or the flu and they didn't even go to a doctor? They just kind of wrote it out.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, this is medically attended in some form or fashion. So people who felt sick enough that maybe they needed to go to the hospital, but at the very least, they were seen by a medical provider, they were tested, and that test result came to us at the health department. So that is kind of tip of the iceberg as far as the illnesses that we saw within the community this season.
Is there anything that you could study to try to figure out why, or is it just one of those random things that stuff just happens?
If there was a way to kind of predict, that would be really a good information to have, just so people would know what was circulating. You could take additional actions on top of, what we typically do, such as the hand washing and the getting vaccinated and things like that. But it's not quite that simple. There are a lot of factors that go into it. Is there a new strain of some of the infections out there, like influenza or COVID-19? What sort of mixing do we have? How much are we indoors with other people? And are those people sick? And then are we taking that home or to other family or community obligations and potentially spreading it around? So it's not a simple answer, and so not one that we've seen even any sort of infectious disease modeling that has been used to really describe what they have been able to do. CDC has a group that focuses on doing some of that forecasting, and they said if we happen to see RSV and flu and COVID kind of convening around the same time, it would be unusually severe. That's a little bit of what we got, given the strong overlap in those infections. But thankfully, it did not seem to overwhelm our hospital system, which a lot of that modeling is focused on.
I know last week was National Public Health Week, and that's what you folks at the South Dakota Department of Health are all about. That's educating folks on public health. And as we talked about last time we had you on the program, that's pretty expansive. That covers a lot of different areas.
Oh, exactly right. And this public health week was very similar. A lot of the areas that we focused on, mental health, which a lot of times we partner with the Department of Social Services on. You know, one of the aspects of this was talking about access to parks and green space and just kind of having that opportunity to relax in, you know, in the greenery of nature, which I feel like we do pretty well in South Dakota. We have great state parks. Folks that are in larger cities oftentimes don't have that if there's a lot, if it's not pre-planned where some of those parks are located. Advocacy, so making sure that there's a focus on if there's a policy that's going to be helpful health-wise, that people in the community, we at the health department are advocating for that. Things like health equity, and one of the topics this year was focusing on telehealth in the rural areas. You know, we have many of our communities are considered rural or even frontier. And so that means that folks in those frontier and rural communities end up driving quite a ways for their medical care. And so telehealth helps open up access and not having to drive that long distance. Climate action, one of the areas that was a focus here is emergency planning. So making sure we have a plan, how do we protect our health, how do we protect our home. One of the things that I've been doing with my family is even just kind of having all of our information on a single sheet of paper that, you know, who our doctors are, you know, what our insurances are, things like that, that help keep everything in a very organized manner. And then the last one was mentoring future leaders. So encouraging public health as a career. You know, we've often talked that the Department of Health has job openings. We have those posted on our Facebook webpage. That'll take you to the link to go ahead and apply for some of those jobs. And public health is a great space to work in. So just an opportunity to make sure that folks recognize that the health department is hiring oftentimes, as well as making sure that our next generation, you know, sometimes in high school, sometimes in college, that they are aware that public health is a career space. And that's how I ended up here, is kind of fell into public health and started as an intern, got hired on, you know, doing investigations and loved the work. And that really is, you know, what we want to make sure that people have the recognition of the work that's being done in public health.
Investigations like CSI, those kind of investigations?
More like who did not wash their hands and then made the potato salad that infected a bunch of individuals. So more on the disease detective side of things of how did things go wrong? You know, whether that's a human health interaction, whether that was something in the environment that allowed for the diseases to occur, that was really what interested me, that how closely aligned the question of, you know, who, what, when, where, and why. You know, how did those diseases occur? What disease were we talking about? And the fact that that involves laboratory and just being able to talk about how the environment oftentimes will impact. You know, we don't go out, you know, and recreate in a lot of the great waters that we have within South Dakota during the winter, but we do during the summer. So those are recreational water illnesses. And so what sort of factors help increase that risk, and how do we mitigate those in public health so that people can stay healthy? Sometimes a lot of that is just awareness.
I've got a great show idea for SDPB. What do you think about this? Dr. Joshua Clayton, food service inspector. I like it.
There, there would be enough in the history of South Dakota alone that would make that an intriguing story idea. Just talking about different outbreaks that we've had helped investigate the routine work that we do with some of those food inspection services to make sure that people are at the restaurant level are preparing, storing, preparing, and serving food in a manner that avoids any risk of infection. I would buy into that wholeheartedly.
I would watch that show. Now, that would be a show that I would watch right there. But in all seriousness, I want to circle back around to something you said earlier about, and it was a great, great point that you made. I want to circle back around to it. To have everything at your fingertips in case there is an accident, emergency, illness, so you know everything about primary care physician, insurance, that you have all the documents and you can actually put your hands on them. That is a great, great idea and something I'm going to really implement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of guides out there that are available. So things like ready.gov, and there's a family emergency plan. And so you can download that as a guide, and it'll walk through everything that I was just talking about. So you know your doctor's phone number, the local county sheriff's office and things like that, most everyone is in a position now where 911, will get you to the local fire department. But, sometimes if you're just needing to make a quick call, and talk something over, you don't need to use the 911 system. But this helps you have all of that information on one sheet of paper for yourself and for your family.
One of the things we wanted to talk about is the South Dakota Injury Insights for the spring that came out recently. And again, talking about all the things that you cover, there's all sorts of stuff in there, weather preparedness, spring cleaning safety. There's a ton of stuff in there to keep you safe in the spring, especially if you're clumsy and like to injure yourself, like certain radio personalities who shall go unnamed.
Yes, very good cover there.
Yes.
But the injuries happen any time of year. Whether that's a slip and fall on ice, whether we're talking about injuries related to storm cleanup, the sort of things that we might be exposed to as we're going through spring cleaning, whether that be chemical or biologic, because we're cleaning up, things like mouse poop, and exposing ourselves to, some of those chemicals and what the phone number is for poison control. All of that, whether we're talking about a physical harm, a chemical, harm, those are all injuries that the health department has some, way to kind of track, oftentimes through the visits that people have to an emergency department if they are hospitalized, and it really helps us understand the impact within our community, and then can be an area that either we or that we work with a lot of the hospital prevention staff that do some of the education out there within your local community. They will sometimes use the information through those injury reports to be able to highlight things within their local area. So a lot of good information and a lot of good awareness information that's available either through that Injury Insights newsletter or just on our doh.se.gov website.
Can we talk about a certain couple of things that are in the report? Here's a good one. Falls among older adults in South Dakota. 2024 report on unintentional falls among adults age 65 and older. Unfortunately, falls rank in the top 10 leading causes of death for people in South Dakota in the age group of 65 and older. That's why they always ask you when you go to the doctor if you have fallen recently. I mean, that's a big problem. Folks, you get older, you don't have the balance you quite did, you fall, you can really hurt yourself.
Things like a rug, you know, that can be a potential trip hazard. So oftentimes there will be a discussion about what are some of the trip hazards that might be in your home, in your apartment. We have seen that, you know, unintentional falls are a big concern for those 65 and over, but there's also the risk increases, the rate increases dramatically starting at age 85 and over. Hmm. So that is something for folks to be aware of, and because we do have a large portion of our population. Because a lot of times I would say generally South Dakotans are quite healthy. We live to those ripe old ages. And so we do tend to be a little bit higher on the risk for fall-related injuries, in part due to the population that we have. But it's also, when we look at the rate, it is based on that population that's 65 and over, and with that, we rank still pretty high overall. In fact, in 2022, we were sixth overall in the nation. So that is something to be aware of, and how do we work to protect our loved ones? It's identifying those things ourselves. Medical providers are often asking about those trip hazards. If you happen to be part of the Dakota at Home program that's through Department of Human Services, part of what they do is looking for those trip hazards when they happen to be in the home. So there are a lot of good ways that not only we, but we partner with other state agencies to try and keep the population safe.
A couple of things I wanted to touch on that's coming up in April. First and foremost, April 26th, it is National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. A great day to get rid of those old drugs so they don't fall into the wrong hands. You don't take them expired. A myriad of issues could come from older drugs.
The biggest concern, you know, that we have first and foremost is just around the opioids that individuals might have access to. Any drug, especially in the hands of some of our younger under five population that might mistake it for candy, that is an area of concern. Getting rid of unused opioids or other pills so that they don't fall into the wrong hands and lead to an emergency room visit is definitely beneficial. But there are a lot of different take-back sites spread across the state. And so if you're looking for where you can drop those off, you can either contact when you go renew your prescription, talk to your local pharmacist, or look at the South Dakota Department of Health website. We have a lot of those drug take-back sites located on our website.
Also, April, Distracted Driving Awareness Month, which is big, I don't want to say with young people, I think it's big for everyone. The desire to read that text right away sometimes is just overwhelming for some people, and it's difficult for them not to do it.
Yes. And this is something that impacts, you know, virtually everyone, whether you're the person who is doing that, which you shouldn't be, or whether, it's just putting you then at risk for an accident or a vehicle-related injury. But that is something that, you know, a lot of us, like it or not, I mean, we're, we kind of are addicted to our smartphones. And there's a lot of information there. But the best way to handle that is if you get a text and you need to follow up, either respond or even read it, is to make sure that you're pulling over and doing that in a safe manner. I oftentimes will hand it to my family member that is in the vehicle with me, and they can open up that email or open up that text and make sure that it's nothing I need to respond to urgently. So it is something, you know, try and minimize that as much as possible, because I'm sure we've all seen it, the person who's driving next to us and where their eyes, oftentimes it's the phone somehow cradled, into the steering wheel, and that's kind of what they're doing, is they're looking down at that rather than looking at the road.
A lot of times you think that they're drunk, but they're not. I don't think they're drunk, and then you drive around them, and they're on their phone. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're not drunk. You're just on your phone. Because they're weaving in and out of traffic like they are drunk.
or they're moving slower, yeah, you know, than the speed limit and stuff, because they haven't paid attention to where it speeds up. Or, yeah, they're, it's oftentimes easy to spot, and if you're doing it, you're not recognizing that you're doing it unless you happen to be like weaving in lanes and having to pull it back around to being in the lane. But, you know, that also doesn't always stop people from continuing on, unfortunately.
April is also Alcohol Awareness Month. That covers everyone, addiction, teens. Obviously, you have harm that you're doing to your body with excessive alcohol, not to mention the car crashes. It's just an ugly situation when not done in moderation.
Yes. There's a time and a place, and it is not when you're operating a motor vehicle. There's also, if you find yourself drinking alone a lot of times, that can be a potential warning sign, that you are not, drinking in moderation. And the, some of the discussion is around, four no more, as far as, the number of, alcoholic beverages to drink, at a single time. This is one area that I do feel like, being a rural state, and sometimes that means that there's not a lot of other activities, that are around year round, at least. And so that can lead to increased risk among ourselves for overindulging with alcohol. That alcohol then being accessible, if it's not locked up, to minors. And so, needing to have a responsible relationship, really with any substance, and that does include alcohol, and alcohol, it is important to identify or understand that, if you're drinking alcohol, that can lead to over 200 either diseases or exacerbation of diseases and injuries when that alcohol is misused.
Did you say 200?
Over 200. So, we often think of things related to liver injury, mm-hmm, because that's where the alcohol is processed. Or other things, if you are drinking a large amount of alcohol over time, developing kind of that cirrhosis of the liver. But there are a lot of other things that alcohol will impact in over and above just those related to the liver. So some of it's not directly, causing the disease, but it can exacerbate certain aspects of disease. Over 200.
Also during April, South Dakota Department of Health recognizes National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Obviously, that's a situation to where we all want to be cognizant of that every month, but I know extra focus is put on it this month.
Yes. Oftentimes worst case scenarios, you know, we hear about in the news, where an adult has shaken an infant, some of those where they might be focused on, emotional abuse and things like that. So, okay. You know, speaking negatively to that child can be a form of abuse. So it is something to keep in mind when you are engaging with your children that, they love you, you love them, and so how do you make sure that you're able to take out any anger or aggression at the situation, not at the child, but at the situation itself? Ways to be healthy, but also make sure that your child grows up in a healthy environment, and so that there's not a concern or potential issues as it relates to later on. You know, we often always see the worst case scenarios of the abuse and neglect, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other things related to sort of domestic violence in the home or substance use that could potentially lead to either concerns on the part of the parent and their relationship with the child or the child seeing that, perceiving it as normal, and then kind of continuing that use of substances and things like that. So we want... Our children are our future, and so we want to make sure that we have those important connections to them and that they're able to reach their fulfillment as much as possible of their potential.
You know, and finding productive ways to let go of our frustrations, whether it's the gym, going for a nice long walk, a run, a productive way to, I guess, get rid of our anger and frustrations, because we all get angry and frustrated from time to time. That's normal in a human existence. But finding positive ways for outlets like that is important, number one. And number two, making sure that you're healthy, making sure that you don't have prediabetes, diabetic, and you don't know about it. You know, when your blood sugar drops, when you're diabetic and it raises it up and down and you have fluctuations, spikes, drops, you can get feelings of anger, anxiety, depression. Make sure that your blood sugar is stable. And if there's a problem there, you need to get that addressed.
Yes. Yeah. Those things physically that are sometimes directly under our control, but then indirectly impact our relationships. You know, one of the biggest things in my perspective that is a protective factor for avoiding some of the negative side of what we were just talking about is sitting down and eating dinner as a family most nights. You know, something simple that we have to do. We all have to refuel, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so doing so as a family and having the TV off and talking about our day, what was one positive thing that you learned in school or what is one thing you're grateful for? Things like that really help build those family connections and as a strong protective factor to a lot of the concerns around abuse and neglect and things along those lines.
DOH.SD.gov, again, DOH.SD.gov, and by all means, make sure you like the South Dakota Department of Health on Facebook. Folks do a great job of updating folks, giving lots and lots of different information on your Facebook page. Once again, at DOH.SD.gov, and like the Department of Health on Facebook. I would say, are you hiring? But you already got to that like 7.5 minutes in. You didn't even wait for me to get. You didn't even wait for me to get to the end of the interview. You just went right into that and going, yeah, we got some openings. Yeah.
Hey, we always do. So I tried to lead with that this time.
I like it.
But yeah, doh.sd.gov. Take a look at the positions that we have open there. Find out if it's a fit, and we'd love to work with you. We have a lot of great people here working in public health, so consider joining us.
Always a great honor to have you on the program. We thank you very much. Keep up the great work, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a great one.